Welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are back in Luke chapter 6. It seems like we've been there quite a while, but there's a lot of content to be dealt with there in Luke chapter 6 in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. So let's take our Bibles and let's look together at Luke 6, verse 37. And then from that passage, we're going to go to the cross reference in Matthew chapter 7 and see exactly what Jesus has to say about this issue of dealing with blind spots. So here's the scripture we're looking at. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Now, each of those statements, judge not, condemn not, and forgive, all three of those really are statements that need to be broken down very thoroughly. And there are a lot of rich truths that are connected to those very simple statements. In fact, we know that Jesus had a lot more to say about this topic because what's recorded in Matthew 7 is fuller. And so what I'd like to also do is read you the cross-reference so that you can see a little bit more about what Jesus has to say, particularly how he breaks down this issue of not judging. In Matthew 7, 1-5, he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? And how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." So this passage is a passage that we are all very familiar with. In fact, we talk about verses in Scripture that people are familiar with. John 3:16 is probably one that people know very well. Another one that people know is the Golden Rule, what we talked about recently. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, here is the second one, Luke chapter 6. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, one of the things that we need to realize when we look at this passage is that this is not a blanket statement that we are to never make judgment calls about issues, or we're never supposed to address an issue with another person. That's really not the point of what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is doing is he's teaching us about the danger of making a judgment about another person when we haven't first looked at our own lives to ask the question, am I guilty of the same thing? In fact, not only am I guilty of the same thing, but is my guilt of the same thing keeping me from being able to see clearly on whether or not to even address the other person? And if I'm going to address the other person, how am I going to go about it? So this passage is really primarily about dealing with blind spots. And I think as we work our way through the cross-reference in Matthew chapter 7, you're going to see that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. So it's not so much about saying you can't make judgments in life, you can't ever address an issue with a person. It's really about dealing with blind spots, primarily in your life first, and then the question is, am I even in a position to go and talk to this person? And if I am, how do I go about it? That's really what it's about. So let me give you a simple summary statement, then we'll dig into the contents here. The purpose of this passage is to address our own blind spots first before we address the blind spots of others. Very simple statement, but that's the main point. So let's kind of notice the progression of the passage in front of us. First of all, there's a warning. We see the words, judge not. Then from the warning, we go to a reason for the warning. He says, for, and then he gives a statement. Then we see an appeal to conscience. He says, why we're not to do this. Thirdly, we see an appeal to priority. He says, first, and then he has a statement. And then we see the conclusion, then shalt thou see clearly. So let's kind of work our way through each of those statements so that we understand exactly what we're talking about. First of all, we have the warning. He says, judge not. The verse says, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, that statement really is going to be kind of explained in the rest of the verse. The idea is that if you make a judgment about a situation and about an individual, and you don't go through the proper stream that has been laid out in this text, then you're going to be held to the same standard. That's what he means when he says, don't judge or you will be judged. In other words, what you give is going to come back to you. It's very similar to some of the other things that he said. You know, if you're merciful, you'll receive mercy. Okay? That's on the other side. A person who is a merciful person is going to receive mercy back. A person that is very harsh and difficult with other people is going to come back to them. That's really what he's saying. So let's look at the reason why he tells them not to judge or they'll be judged. The reason is, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. To put it in very simple terms, you will be held to the same standard that you hold other people to. Now, we know that God is holy and he is righteous. And God says that certain things are wrong and certain things are right. He calls it sin. God doesn't play games when it comes to what is morally right and what is morally wrong. But the fact is that when we try to take God's laws and apply them, there are times that we don't necessarily apply them correctly. There are times that the way we go about resolving situations is not consistent with the way that God would have us to do it, or with the way that God has explained it. And there are a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons that we might do that is because personally we're dealing with the exact same thing. And so either we're going to give people a pass because we feel guilty ourselves, or we're going to be extremely harsh with them because we feel guilty personally about it, something that really bothers us. And because we are troubled in our own hearts, we're going to lash out another individual dealing with the same thing. Now, you'd say it doesn't make sense that that's what we do, but that is what we do. In fact, if you're a parent, you see this play out sometimes with your kids. If you work in a business where you're dealing with a lot of different people and you have employees that have personal issues, sometimes you'll find out that those personal issues, when they see them in another person, they really lash out at that person. And you'll step back and you go, why are they doing this? It doesn't make sense because they have the exact same problem. Well, Jesus basically is pointing that out here. He's saying the standard that you hold other people to will become the same standard that they apply to you when you're in the same situation. And in the context, clearly the person who's making the judgment has the same problem. And not just the same problem, but it appears that this person has the same problem actually to a greater degree than the person that they're about to go after. And so Jesus is saying, you're harsh with this person, guess what? When somebody's going to look at the same situation in your life, they're going to hold you to the exact same standard. The third thing we see is that he appeals to the conscience here. He says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Now, when he talks about mote and beam, he's basically saying one person has this massive beam in their eye, the other person has a speck, like a splinter. It's like the difference between a 2x4 and a splinter from the 2x4. He's saying you have the 2x4 in your eye, and your neighbor has the splinter in theirs. Is the splinter good? The answer is no. It's a problem. Would it be good for them to not have the splinter? The answer is, of course it would be good for them not to have the splinter. Is it affecting their judgment? Potentially, yes. But you have the same problem. You have it actually to a greater extent than this person has. And so he says, before you take care of the problem with another person, you need to ask the question, am I guilty of this exact same thing? It's like when I call out a person for being really harsh or doing something that I think is morally unacceptable, am I doing the exact same thing that they are doing? And so I feel morally justified in what I'm doing because I'm addressing it in somebody else's life. You know, this is the epitome of hypocrisy. It's the epitome of self-righteousness. In fact, he's going to use the term hypocrite because he's saying, you're going after somebody who's doing the same thing you are doing. In fact, when we think about the political world, we see this all the time. So we have a news situation where one side's going after a person on the other side for some moral issue. And then, 2 months later, after all these people on the one side of the aisle have made all these unbelievable remarks about the one person, all of a sudden, it goes the other way around. And when it goes the other way around, guess what? The people who are yelling at the other side are all of a sudden trying to defensively cover themselves when they've done the exact same thing. In fact, not only have they just done the same thing, but they were actually involved in that very issue while they're going after the other side. You know, we see it in the political world. But the fact is it happens on the interpersonal level as well. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. He says, first, consider the beam in your own eye. And then the next statement's very interesting. He says, you need to recognize that if you don't do it, you won't be able to see clearly to help your brother. All right, now the fourth thing. We see an appeal to priority. So it's not just about conscience. He says, why are you looking at what your brother has when you haven't looked first at your own life? The fourth thing is appeals to priority. First, he says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Before you take up an issue with another person, whatever matter it is, you are responsible for you before you're responsible for them. That's an important thing for us to remember. Now, it's true, if I'm a dad, I'm responsible to make sure my kids are doing what's right. Okay, if I'm the boss, then I'm responsible to make sure that things are going well in the place that I'm managing. If I'm in a position of management or leadership, that I am responsible for people's decisions on some level, the way that things are going. I can't stop people from doing certain things, but I'm responsible to address those issues. But before I address those issues, guess what? I need to make sure that I'm not guilty of the same thing. It's like a child who does something that we see as extremely offensive, and we get really upset with them for what they just said, what they just did. But the bottom line is they learned it from us. The reason that they said that, the reason they responded in that situation, the reason that they're handling things in an inappropriate way is because they've watched mom and dad do it over and over and over again. And so while mom and dad are really upset about what Junior's doing, they need to recognize that they actually taught Junior how to do it. Maybe the reason that things under management are not going well is because things in management are not going well. This is what Jesus is saying. And so he says, hypocrite, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Address the issue that you personally are dealing with before you address those who are under your care. Now, it may be that once you do that, you recognize it's not really my jurisdiction. I really am not in the place to go and address that issue. It may be that you do have the responsibility to address the issue. And so we see the last thing that he says, a good conclusion. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. The fact is that when we have a piece of wood in our eye, whether it's large or whether it's small, it needs to go. It's a problem. But in order to help a person address an issue that they have personally, we have to be in a place where we can actually do it. We have to make sure that we actually know how to resolve the issue. If we haven't dealt with it personally, then why in the world do we think that we'd be in the position to help another person? You know, would you have a financial advisor who was basically losing money in the market all the time and was in massive debt? Would you ask somebody to be a personal trainer who's never been to the gym and actually consistently worked out? Would you ask somebody to help you with your diet who, you know, goes to Chick-fil-A 3 times or 4 times a week and that's the way that they live their lives? The answer is no. You're going to go and you're going to get help from a person who actually knows how to diet, who actually knows how to exercise, who actually knows how to handle money. And so a person's not going to have any confidence in your ability to help them if you yourself have the same problem, and even to a greater extent than they have. And so what Jesus is saying is, before you address the issue, address it personally. And when you address it personally, then you will have the ability to see clearly so that you'll be able to help that person through their own issues. In fact, we see that in the book of Galatians, Paul takes Christ's teaching here from Matthew 7 and Luke 6, and he applies it in the context of the local church. And I want you to hear what Paul says, because this just beautifully lays out the exact extent to what Jesus is trying to communicate here. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Folks, that is exactly what Jesus is saying. We need to be people who help other people. But in order to help other people, we have to be in a healthy place ourselves. We need to be humble. We need to be introspective. We need to be proportionate in the way that we go to address the issue. The reality is that we cannot help others if we're not in a healthy place ourselves. And so I want to encourage you, the biggest takeaway from this passage is that we need to be Christians who are in a healthy place so that if it's our turn, if we're responsible to take up an issue, we're going to do it the right way. And we're going to do it in a way that's productive and it will lead to a good, positive outcome. So let me kind of summarize the main point of what we've looked at this morning, and I hope it'll be helpful to you. The first thing is this. Having a critical, self-righteous judgmentalism is sin, and it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the person that you're going after. The reality is that when we see sin in other people, we need to stop and ask the question first, do personal inventory. Am I doing the same thing? Is my heightened concern about this other person actually a result of me recognizing I'm doing it myself but being unwilling to deal with it myself? The second thing is humility and self-reflection position us to be able to help others. If we want to help people, and I think that generally speaking, Christians want to make a difference, they want to be a blessing, they want to encourage and help other people. If we're going to help other people, we have to be healthy Christians ourselves. Ye who are spiritual, restore someone. And a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's the way that we need to actually approach other people. We approach ourselves first. Thirdly, let's remember we're going to be held to the same harsh standards we impose on other people. If we are difficult with other people, if we are not proportionate in our approach to resolving conflict, guess what? There's going to be a day that people will take the same standard that we held others to, and they will apply it on us. And they'll do it because we taught them to do it. And they'll feel completely vindicated in doing it because they saw us do it. And lastly, our own sin will always cloud our judgment. One of the reasons that we don't have the discernment to see clearly is because sin clouds judgment. If you want to see clearly to help another person, you've got to address what's clouding your own judgment first. I hope that this has been a challenge to you. This is a very, very important text of Scripture. It's extremely practical. It's going to play itself out in nearly every interpersonal relationship and interaction that we deal with. Whether it's at work, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, whether it's in our communities, whether it's in the political world, we need to recognize that the things that Jesus lays out in this text of Scripture, they hit home on a regular basis. Hope this has been a challenge to you. Hope that you have a wonderful weekend, and Lord willing, we'll see many of you on Sunday. Bye now.